think I'm going to rub my hands together. It's so cold. During Advent, we intentionally reconnect with the deep longings of the world as described in the Old Testament. A world that was dark and full of anxiety, fear, death, and despair. God's people awaited a king that would liberate them from oppression, sin, and death, as told to them by the prophets. Advent is a time of expectation and preparation for the birth of Jesus, the Incarnation. And this reminds us to be alert for the second coming of Christ. Today, we encounter in our Gospel text some of the most important words found in Scripture. And they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is a revelation about the nature of God, the way in which God chooses to work in the world. God is literally busting in and choosing to be with us, among us. And he chooses to do so in the most unexpected and miraculous way. God appears to us as the most vulnerable, a child. A child that is born to a displaced and marginalized couple. And this humble arrival heralds the good news to those that find themselves in what the Gospel of Luke refers to as the least, the last, and the lost. God is with us are the words that for centuries have flamed the hopes of the captive. Today we hear Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus. What's interesting about this version is that it's so matter of fact and so short. And really, it's not about the birth event itself at all. It's the account that intentionally highlights Joseph's unique role in God's choosing to become flesh and dwell among us. And what was Joseph's role if he wasn't the biological father of Jesus? And just how did he come into that role? Each year, as I decorate our home for Christmas, I carefully arrange our multiple nativity sets. I always place the wise men somewhere in the distance, yet clearly on their way to see the miraculous thing that has happened. And I very intentionally exclude the baby Jesus from the scene until after we return from worship on Christmas Eve. There is much said and written about Mary and her choice, her yes, to God to work literally in and through her, and not so much said about Joseph. And this year, for some reason, as I arranged our nativity scenes, I intentionally huddled the three figures of the Holy Family together. I can say that I've never really given much thought to Joseph and his part in the beginnings of the Holy Family. Seeing Jesus in the middle, flanked and framed by both Mary and Joseph, has led me to ponder Joseph's role in the miracle of the new creation found in Jesus. How did Joseph come to stand beside Mary? By all accounts, Mary, a lowly handmaiden with not much to lose, said yes to God's call and now had found herself with child. She was now a public sinner. We know that Mary was at risk of being stoned to death for what appears to be adultery, and at the very least, was soon to be dismissed by Joseph in what equates to a quiet divorce. So certainly Mary feared for what would come next. In this version of the birth story of Jesus, there appears to be not much emotion conveyed by Joseph, or at least it's not mentioned. But we do know that Joseph was afraid, because as angels often do, their first words to Joseph were, "Do not be afraid." So what could possibly Joseph be afraid of? It's probably safe to assume that upon hearing the news of Mary's pregnancy, that things got real for this family, that things got messy, really messy, that not only did their plans not go as expected, but that this young couple found themselves in the midst of turmoil and heartache, in a deal-breaking, relationship-ending kind of crisis. And how might we imagine that this went down? How Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant? And how did Mary convey that she was in on God's plan and then invite those around her to be part of this plan? So to us now, despite this brief and to the point birth encounter we hear today, I think we can imagine just how messy life had become for this new family and just how much Joseph had to lose by choosing to stick with Mary and all the uncertainty that went with that. By all accounts, Joseph was a righteous and obedient man. So now we can see the tension he faced. How to do the right thing, whatever that was, and for whom, in the midst of such distress, disruption, and what seemed like betrayal. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, Joseph makes his way to his own profound yes and accepts Jesus as his son. Joseph's naming of Jesus linked himself to Jesus as the adoptive father and therefore placed Jesus as part of the Davidic line, just as foretold by the prophets. God is with us, makes clear for the world the nature of God and how God works, and how we are to share the good news with one another. It's a message from God. I'm here. I'm with you. All of you, just as you are. It is said that sometimes the role of the preacher is simply to not get in the way of the text, and that the challenge is how to make something new from what is so familiar to us. Each time the gospel is proclaimed, we must pay attention to both the time and the place in which we find ourselves, and to think about who we are in that moment, and wonder where God may be calling us to be, both as individuals and as a congregation. This Advent has felt particularly dark for me, and I would imagine for some of you as well. With such division in this country, and scenes from Aleppo flashing across our screens, it does beg the question of how we can be part of hope becoming justice and hate becoming love. What might we have to let go of personally? And as a congregation, what might we have to sacrifice in order to hear God's call to us, to welcome the stranger, to embrace our neighbor, to protect our planet and free the oppressed? How might we celebrate this light in a world that seems so dark today? So in the coming days, as the secular world and its Christmas trappings tighten in around us, we might be apt to conjure up the warmth of the stable and the peace of what is to come. Perhaps instead, we might choose not to block out all of the fear, anxiety, death, and despair that we might personally feel or what we might experience in the world around us. Instead, we might choose to feel it to name it and realize that it's the place and time we find ourselves in, and that this is where our work might begin. We know from our own experience that the relationships in our human family are messy. Yet God is with us, with the whole messy, real human family in which we find ourselves. Many are calling this a time of collapse and failure in America and in the world. And some are calling for us as Christians to not waste this collapse, this crisis, but actually to use it to forge a new way forward, to recommit ourselves to our shared gospel values, rather than to hunker down and continue in our life of isolation that's created a culture of personal and institutional self-preservation. To not just proclaim these gospel values here inside to one another, but to proclaim them outside of the church walls, to act them out and live them out there, one-on-one and in the public square, despite our fears and despite what we'll have to sacrifice to do it. So then, how might we move from what seems like paralysis and listen to God's call to us to be healers, reconcilers, lovers, peacemakers, and justice seekers? How do we prepare in the midst of the reality that is the messiness of our lives together? Perhaps, just as Joseph did, we might start close in, out of love and in relationship, in all its expected and glorious messiness. I'd like to leave you with a poem by David White entitled Start Close In. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way to begin the conversation. Start with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To hear another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until that voice becomes an intimate, private ear that can really listen to another. Start right now. Take a small step you can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close in. Don't mistake that other for your own. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. Amen.